Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the program four individual and talented players of this game. And seated on my right, we have that delightful actor, comedian, writer, all-round good egg and performer, Marcus Brigstock. And beside him, we have a man who is not only a writer, but a journalist and ex-politician, that is Clement Freud. And seated on my left, we have another ex-politician, also a prolific writer, presenter, and that is Giles Brandreth. And seated beside Giles Brandreth, we have that lovely Irish comedian from the Emerald Isle, Father Ted and other credits to her name, and a very fine writer as well, that is Pauline McGlynn. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Charlotte Davies, who's going to help me with the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the delightful Mermaid Theatre down on the edge of the Thames. And we have a wonderful cosmopolitan London audience in front of us, ready for us to get going. So let's start the show with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject, very apt, mermaids. Tell us something about mermaids in Just a Minute, starting now.
I loathe mermaids. I have, in the flat in which I live, a notice which says, no hawkers, canvassers or mermaids, which I think is absolutely right. They don't pay any charges or rates. They can't even open their legs.
Giles, you've challenged.
I felt there was a slight hesitation, but maybe I was
premature. No, he was just getting up steam.
Ah, I'm so sorry. No, because of the steam, I couldn't see his lips.
You haven't played it. All right, give him a bonus point. We love the remark you made. But, Clement, an incorrect challenge, so you have a point for that. You keep the subject, and there are 46 seconds available, starting now.
There are a number of things which you shouldn't give a mermaid for Christmas, like a bicycle.
Marcus, you've challenged.
Yes, there was a hesitation after
there
the
definitely
bicycle.
Was a hesitation. He thought of the bicycle and the mermaid on it, and he came to a halt. Marcus, there are 38 seconds still available. The subject is mermaids, and you start now.
The only thing I know for sure about mermaids is that they make the most useless girlfriends. It is enormously difficult to find a sensible place to take a mermaid out for dinner. The reason being that they will only eat fish, and...
Clement, you're challenged.
Yes. They don't only eat fish. I know several carnivorous mermaids. I know of mermaid who won't eat fish at all.
Well, I wish it had their numbers. Because
she thinks it's cannibalism.
Now, this is...
Fair enough.
One of those impossible decisions, because I don't have any personal experience of mermaids, and I don't think anybody else in the audience has. But I tell you what we do, Clement, we did enjoy your interruption, so we give you a bonus point for that. But Marcus was interrupted, so he keeps the subject, and there are 22 seconds still available. Mermaids, Marcus, starting now.
Yes, I'm beginning to wish that you'd given the subject to Clement, because I feel rather sad to know that there are mermaids out there.
Giles, challenge.
Nicholas did give the subject to Clement. So it's a deviation. I'm beginning to wish you'd given the subject to Clement.
No, he meant give the subject to Clement after that challenge.
Yes, he didn't specify that. I'm just...
This programme could turn ugly, couldn't it?
No, he was referring to that last challenge. So, unfortunately, Giles, I can't give it to you on that occasion. Marcus, you've got another point. You've got the subject you don't want. And 15 seconds, mermaids, starting now.
Of course, the Mermaid Theatre is named after the one mermaid who successfully swam up the Thames without dying of the pollutants that exist in the water here and turning into a very nasty, brown, pulpy mess.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. In this case, and it was Marcus Brigstock. And with the other points in the round, he's got a strong lead at the moment, just ahead of Clement Freud, Giles Brandreth and Pauline McGlynn in that order. And Giles, will you take the next round? The subject, infamy. Tell us something about infamy in Just a Minute, starting now.
I am Anglo-Welsh. My parents burnt down their own cottage, and therefore infamy has been part and parcel of my heritage since my birth. Indeed, my very name, Brandreth, is the subject of infamy, because if you look up in the Oxford English Dictionary, you will see that the definition is a substructure of piles. Indeed, one of my forebears was the notorious Jeremiah of the same ilk, who in fact was the last person to be beheaded for treason, hence the infamy going back for several generations. In my own circumstance, my career began with an incident of infamy that was indeed most shaming, because I was a young actor in a live radio program playing a detective. My only line was to say, that was the chair Schmidt sat in when he was shot. But unfortunately, my diction at the time was poor, and as a consequence of this, the infamy led to my not being employed almost for a generation. I went on to feel...
He said generation.
No, you did say generation before.
Actually, he said indeed twice earlier, but it was so good I didn't interrupt. Isn't that terrible? I just wanted to know more about the Brandreth.
I know that was very sporting of you, Pauline, but Clement, a correct challenge, and you've naughtily got him with only 8 seconds to go, because Giles went for 52 seconds. I think you need a round of applause for that. Clement, a point to you, and infamy's with you. 8 seconds starting now.
Infamy comes from the word famous, and it means extreme vileness, absolutely nastiness of all kinds. Infamy.
So Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now moved forward. He's equal with Marcus Brigstocke in the lead. Giles Brandreth, who went so magnificently just then, has still only got 1 point. It's not a fair game, really, is it? And Pauline, who's been lovely already, but hasn't got any points at all. But Marcus, it's your turn to begin. Will you take the subject now of my New Year's resolution? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Mercifully for me, my New Year's resolution has also been ratified by the United Nations, so it means not only will it be ignored by the international community, I also don't have to adhere to any promises that I will be making to myself or indeed to anybody else. But my New Year's resolution for the coming year is to clear out my garage. It's actually a lock-up that exists in Fulham, but it's full of old props from various shows that I've done, a lot of which need to be got rid of extremely quickly, the main reason being that I'm rather embarrassed about a number of them.
Clement, you challenged.
I think that was hesitation.
Yes, I think we interpret that as hesitation.
The word,
That gave it away.
Clement, you've got in with 22 seconds available. My New Year's resolution starting now.
I once made a New Year's resolution that I would give up smoking, drinking, and going out with women.
Marcus, challenge.
Deviation, that's 3 New Year's resolutions.
You could say that was his resolution, but there were 3 collective things within it. So I will give you a bonus point, because the audience
really
clapped and they seemed to enjoy your interpretation. Well, I give them out willy-nilly, that's my nature. And Clement, you were interrupted, so you keep the subject. 16 seconds, my New Year's resolution, starting now.
I had thought that doing that would make me live longer, but it just seemed as if it were a more long time. New Year's resolutions are pretty stupid things to do, because by the 2nd of January you have forgotten what they were and decided to...
So Clement Freud, speaking as a whistle away, gained that other extra point, and he's moved up alongside Marcus. They're both in the lead ahead of the other two. And Clement, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject, the rat race. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I've never been to a rat race. I've been to a cockfight. But I presume rat races has a rat wearing a jacket and a colour.
Pauline, challenge.
I just thought the grammar was terrible. So, I'm going to say that that was deviation. How about that?
You worked so hard to work something out, didn't you?
I did, well, no, yeah. Well, I'm desperate to get on the points.
I guess, so. It doesn't matter. It's lovely to have you here, darling. Don't matter.
The token woman.
I don't think his grammar was all that bad. Not colloquially speaking, no. So, Clement Freud, an incorrect challenge. The rat race is still with you, and there are 50 seconds available starting now.
In the 15th and 16th centuries in Ireland, there were a huge number of rat races. From Limerick to Coleraine, go where you would. and rats would come out of their traps carrying a jacket, maybe a red...
repetition of jackets.
Yeah, jackets, before. Yes. And also, a rat can't get out of a trap, usually. I mean, they usually get caught. So, Giles, correct challenge, and you have 39 seconds available. The rat race starting now.
The rat race, I love it. At birth, I put my children down for a table at the Ivy. I don't believe in any of this nonsense, namby-pamby stuff of the work-life balance. I believe in the rat race, ruthlessly.
Clement, you've challenged.
Two believes.
Oh, yes, you did believe.
I do believe. I'm proud of this. I don't mind. Who cares about points?
Well,
no, you're right. I'm in the rat race. I do care about points. I got that wrong. I do. I care about points.
Clement, another point to you in 25 seconds. The rat race starting now.
A mouse contest is terrific. I think better on the whole than a rat race. I have often watched these occasions in East Anglia. Ipswich, Norwich, Cambridge, you name it, I have witnessed a rat.
Giles, your challenge.
I sensed there was a hesitation.
You didn't even sense it, it was there. So, 9 seconds for you, the rat race starting now.
Dick Whittington is an extraordinary pantomime which features a rat race in good production.
Marcus, challenge.
Yes, I'm sorry, deviation. There's never been a good production of Dick Whittington.
Oh, yes, there has.
I asked
no,
for that,
there hasn't.
Now in hell.
Oh, that got you.
What have you done?
Right.
For that reason.
Well, I think that challenge of yours hasn't won you any friends, Marcus. And I'm not going to lie, because...
Yes, it has.
I've been in no less than 3 productions of Dick Whittington.
So do I get
we
a
rest
point?
Our case. They were put,
Oh, Pauline.
How could I? I did it for a cheap laugh.
I know. I'll show you how generous I am, because you got your laugh. I'll give you a bonus point.
Oh, thank you. I could do with it at the moment.
There we are. So, but who challenged? It was Marcus, an incorrect challenge. Giles was interrupted. 2 seconds on the rat race, starting now.
The rat race is the most formidable thing in the history of the world.
So Giles Brandreth was then speaking as the whistle went, getting that extra point. He's creeping up on Marcus Brigstock, which is a rather invidious thing to do. And then and Clement Floyd is still in the lead, one ahead. Pauline has a point or two, and...
one point.
Which is lovely. No, Giles, it's your... I think you should take the next round. Nice and topical for us all. London Bridge. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
When I took part in the London Bridge Championships, I opened with a blinder, playing 3 no trumps. The event took place at Lake Navajo, which is now the home of London Bridge. In 1962, a misguided oil tycoon, thinking he was buying Tower Bridge, incorrectly purchased London Bridge and had it transported over to the United States of America to Arizona, where this competition took place. And I have to say, the cards that I was given...
Clement Floyd, challenge.
Why does he have to say that?
Because this is... it may seem, I mean, people won't believe this, we are paid a modest fee, and therefore there's some element of compulsion in the contract.
Yes. Yes. I quite agree, Giles. You have to keep going somehow or other, don't you?
Yeah.
And so you want to bring out those phrases, you're entitled to do it. Clement, they enjoyed your challenge. So you get a bonus point for that, but you haven't got the subject. Giles was interrupted. He keeps the subject of London Bridge. 35 seconds starting now.
London Bridge was falling down, and a slight inclination of the cranium is as adequate as a spasmodic movement of one optic to an equine quadruped utterly devoid of any visionary capacity. As the guy said to me when we were halfway across it, and really unnerved me, because I thought, if this man is going to go on talking like this, I'll have to commit suicide, throw myself into the River Thames. But how foul it looks, because there are these creatures that are half Jordan, half tins of sardines.
Yes. Clement, you challenge first, yes.
Two halves.
Two halves. Half ten and half that. Yes, big experienced player of the game. They listen, they pick up every word.
Oh, yes, well, they do. They don't realise that two halves make a whole.
No. I was just waiting for him to continue with the song, because if he'd done London Bridge is Falling Down, a little bit of repetition coming up, I thought. But no,
Clement, a correct challenge. You have 10 seconds. Tell us more about London Bridge, starting now.
London Bridge is Falling Down is a song which I'm unable to sing, mostly because I have no music, but also because I simply don't believe it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Before the whistle went, Giles, you pressed your buzzer and challenged. Your light came on. What's your challenge?
There was a hesitation.
There's a long hesitation.
There was a long hesitation. He was waiting for the applause, the whistle.
I know, I tell you what.
The glory that he thinks is his due.
No, I tell you, there's a whole full second to go on London Bridge. With you, Giles, starting now.
London Bridge has started...
Clement Challis.
Wasn't there a bit of a hesitation?
No.
I think there was, isn't there?
Marcus agreed.
It was a good try, Clement, but of all people who come in more rapidly than anybody else, it's Giles with his proliferation of speech. Giles, you have half a second on London Bridge starting now.
Fast flows the River Thames!
So Giles Brannery speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's moved forward. He's two behind Clement Freud, our leader, and he's two ahead of Marcus Brigstock, who's in third place, and they're all a few points ahead of Pauline McLinn. And Pauline, you are going to take the next round of the subject. How apt for you, my darling, the Blarney Stone. Oh. 60 seconds starting now.
In case nobody's noticed, I am, of course, Irish. And we are said to have been born having already kissed the Blarney Stone because we can talk at an international level on behalf of our country. This isn't true. I have kissed the Blarney Stone, but...
Marcus Chan.
Repetition of kissed.
You kissed it too much.
You can never kiss enough, can you? That's what I think. That shouldn't be allowed at all. Oh, no. Anyway.
I'm afraid it was a repetition. So, Marcus, you've got 44 seconds. You tell us something about the Blarney Stone starting now.
I've snogged the Blarney Stone tons, and my girlfriend was extremely angry because she claimed that my lips had become incredibly cold because it's very near to the sea, and the waves crash up over the Blarney Stone, and indeed...
Pauline challenged.
Not true, it's a deviation. The Blarney Stone is in Blarney Castle, and it is far from the sea.
Oh, I know that, but there were particularly high seas.
No. just leading the people astray. And again, it's the youngsters in the audience that I worry for, who will be going out with impossible
information. No, you have put them right historically and geographically. So you have the subject back. You have a point for that, for a correct challenge. And you have 29 seconds, the Blarney Stone, Pauline, starting now.
When I kissed the Blarney Stone, I noticed that it was covered.
Oh, darling, darling, you said it before.
Kissed?
Yes.
But I can't get away from the kissing, can I?
I know. So, kissed, you got him first, Marcus. 27 seconds, the Blarney Stone, starting now.
Having not known where the Blarney Stone was, it makes the relationship...
Giles challenge.
The
relationship.
He has trouble with relationship.
I was actually trying to give
word.
A slightly Irish lilt to what I was saying. D.R.
Well.
It's fine.
Well, there we are, then. It's the Blarney Stone, isn't it? 22 seconds for you, Giles.
Apparently it's in
Somerset. Listen, I played Irishman. I played once where the Abbey plays. Would you like to know that?
Oh, no.
I was the only one who was there.
Could they not have gotten just a really bad Irish actor to do it?
No, Pauline, I can tell you, there were so many bad Irish actors around, they wanted someone that was a little bit more genuine, like you see. So, Giles, a correct challenge. You have 22 seconds, the Blarney Stone, starting now.
When Oscar Fingal O'Flaherty Wills Wilde visited Blarney Castle and attempted to have physical contact with...
Marcus challenge.
Yeah, repetition of castle from...
No, it was Pauline who said castle before.
Oh.
Pauline said castle, not...
No, you're quite right. Sorry, I'm still smarting from not having known where it was.
So, Giles, you have another point for incorrect challenge, and you keep the subject. 18 seconds, the Blarney Stone, starting now.
He advised against physical contact with the Blarney Stone because he believed it would lead to disease, the illness in question being logorrhea, which results in actually making much too much of your language. Oh, yes! Oh,
yes.
Blast!
Clement, you...
Oh, no! No!
Oh, yes!
Natural phrases come out.
Oh.
And their repetition.
He's so adamant, isn't he?
I know,
me in the kissing, it's his downfall.
Yes. You know? With you, it's the kissing. Does with me, it's too much.
And does that go on in real life with you too, Pauline?
The kissing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hospitality afterwards. Yeah.
It's that or flashing my boobs at people. Oh. You can choose later.
I'll have both if you don't mind.
Dear mother.
Clement, you have a correct challenge. The Blarney Stone and 5 seconds available starting now.
My relationship with the Blarney Stone is wholly platonic. I have stroked it, sent it Christmas presents.
So, Clement Freud, with points in the round as well as one for speaking when the whistle went, has moved forward, and he's now just in the lead ahead of Giles Brandreth, then Marcus Brigstock, and Pauline McGlynn in that order. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Maid Marian. Tell us something about that delightful lady in this game, starting now.
I think Robin Hood made Marian several times. She was his bitch on the side. In the 13th or 14th century... the sheriff of
Marcus, yes.
I'm afraid there was a hesitation.
There was an yes, so Marcus, a correct
it's challenge. Infectious, Clement, I'm sorry.
49 seconds, you tell us something about Maid Marian, starting now.
I've never met her, but I have spent a fair bit of time in Sherwood Forest looking for her. I believe her to be in a...
Clement, challenge.
Repetition of her.
Yes, I've never met her. She was looking
well, when
for
you've
her.
Made Marian, you just can't get enough of her, can you? Just go right. Back there again and again.
Correct challenge, Clement. 43 seconds. Maid Marian, starting now.
There was in that brotherhood a man called Friar Tuck, which I always thought was a spoonerism. But actually... Yeah, well, anyway.
It seems unfair to buzz that, doesn't it? Because it's so beautiful.
Yeah. I feel deeply ashamed that I've buzzed in, but there was a hesitation while we all enjoyed working out
he
exactly.
He made his mark and got the laugh
was.
And almost retired on it. But anyway, you got in with a... It was hesitation, so I have to be fair within the rules of just a minute. 33 seconds. Maid Marian with you, Marcus, starting now.
In the recent BBC drama of...
Oh.
Clement. Oh, no!
Yeah. Oh, that is so cruel!
Oh. There it was, and I walked right into it. Yeah.
Now, there's the old hand of the game. You spot these things immediately. BB, yes. Oh. Clement, you're in there with 31
so
seconds.
Cruel.
On Maid Marian, starting now.
The British Broadcasting Corporation did a series on Maid Marian, and I can't remember who played the part... Although I certainly auditioned for it. That's about all I'm going
challenge.
To say.
Yes, hesitation.
Yes, he hesitated. 17 seconds, Marcus. Maid Marian, starting now.
In the recent televised drama, they gave Maid...
Giles Challenge.
Drama.
What drama? Did we
earlier, it was the BBC earlier. Drama.
Oh, yes, right. Yes, did you
did. Yes, he did.
I bounced him on BBC before he said drama.
No.
Clement is quite right. He said drama after the buzz went. So it was an
can
incorrect
I have
challenge.
A point?
Controversial.
Yes.
Controversial.
Marcus, you have another point too, and Maid Marian's with you. 15 seconds starting now.
Look, my point was simply that she's an extremely pretty girl, but that she has got a rather thick neck. Now, that is fully understandable, given the fact that she is also the night watchman.
Giles Challenge.
Three she's.
With too many she's.
Two
you often let two go, but three,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, Giles, you've got in. Sharp. 4 seconds. Maid Marian, starting now.
The actor John Wayne's real name was Marion Morrison, and it was because as a child he was teased cruelly.
So Giles is speaking as the whistle went. In the next point, he's now equal with Clement Freud, and they're both behind our leader, Marcus Brigstock. As we move into the final round, and Marcus, it's your turn to begin, so will you take the subject of whippersnappers? 60 seconds, starting now.
At fetish parties, it is considered extremely bad manners to turn up with a camera. However, some people do, and they're always inclined to click photographs of people whipping each other. They...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of people.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
But I don't want whippersnappers.
Well, neither did I. It was very embarrassing. The photographs were posted on a website.
Mm. Can I sell it?
Hmm? Can you what? anybody want to make an offer? He wants to sell it.
What do you want to sell?
Subject.
Oh.
It's all gone deadly quiet. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm trying to make a bit of humour. It doesn't work, but carry on. Clement, you have 49 seconds. Whippersnappers starting now.
You need a camera and a whip.
Who could blame him for hesitating there.
Right. Clem, Charles, you challenged
There was
us.
A hesitation. Yeah.
Well, I think there definitely was. It was a halt. 48 seconds. Whippersnappers starting now.
Whippersnappers are ruling the world. The Prime Minister now goes about dressed in orange makeup, looking like Dale Winton on speed, entirely so that he looks juvenile.
Pauline, you've challenged.
Just on behalf of Dale Winton, I have to say that as far as I know, he has never taken speed.
Looking like Dale Winton would look on speed.
He did mention looking like
all
it.
Right, all
and
right.
And so I think it's an incorrect challenge.
As Clement would say, I'd just like to say hello.
Darling, you've been helloing quite a lot. You've got quite a lot of points. And 36 seconds for you, Giles, on Whippersnappers starting now.
Even the Pope is younger than Sir Clement Freud. When it has come to this, we have to accept that our globe is being overrun by these whippersnappers, who may have youth on their side, but they don't have the experience, maturity, wisdom, and sense of timing that is the gift of the former Member of Parliament for Ely, one of the wisest and most physically attractive, mature men that I have ever come across. When I use that phrase, of course, I don't mean it literally, I mean it entirely figuratively. And I'm so sorry that I've mentioned that now, because obviously this particular item will have to come out, and I was about to actually hit the 60-second mark.
So the final situation is Pauline actually came from fairly well nowhere point-wise, but not in talent, but and she finished up in a magnificent fourth place. But she was only 4 points behind Clement Freud, who was in a very truly great second place. And I say it's great because he was only 2 points behind, and this is very fair and very apt, Giles Brandreth and Marcus Brigstocke, who both are equal in first place. So we say, these are the joint winners this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Marcus Brigstocke, Giles Brandreth, Pauline McGlynn, and Clement Freud. I thank Charlotte Davies, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle with great aplomb whenever those 60 seconds elapsed. We thank our producer, Talusha Gilani. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Mermaid Theatre in Puddle Dock, who've cheered us on our way magnificently from our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team. Goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
And next week, Paul Merton will return to play Just a Minute with the addition of Chris Neal, Alan Cochrane and Tim Rice. That's next Monday at 6:30.